Well, tonight we're going to get into the depositions.
I haven't had a chance to look at all of them, Brent. But I know you have spent countless amounts of hours going through some of these depositions. So I can't wait to read these with you tonight and give the viewer what they want.
Hello, I'm Brent.
And I'm Scott.
And this
is Strange Embers.
Yep, a lot of people have been saying they don't know how to go to them, they don't know how to find them, or any of that. I will put screenshots up on the YouTube video showing how to go to Lee County, where to go to, how to type in what you need to type in, where to click, where to go. You can see all the files that were recorded in the case. I've been through all the recorded files looking. I've went through all the subpoenas that were issued for people to do their depositions. And one of the things I found very interesting going through them all is there were over 100 depositions that were done, but yet only 28 were filed. One of the other very interesting things I think about that is in a court case, everybody that's going to be on the stand in trial, you would think that they're deposition would be filed along with all the other ones, yet Jason Shepherd's is not there. I did find that very interesting.
Yeah, especially considering, didn't Jason go on the stand?
He did. So I will tell everybody up front, if you want to go through these records and you want to find out what deposition belongs to whom, you can go through there and you can do the leg work and you can figure it out. The only ones that I'm going to say that these belong to X person is the ones for people that were actually on the stand. As we read these, even though you might be able to deduct as long as us of who is probably in a redacted part of them, we're just going to read it as it is. We will say redacted when it's redacted and we'll carry on with the reading. We're not going to read the introductions. We're not going to read the, here's the rules, the swear, the when people swear in to do these. We're not going to read every bit of that for all of these. We're just going to jump ahead to where the questioning starts and carry on. That's the way we're going to do every one of these, just to make this
straight to the state your name.
Yes. I'm going to read the part of the questioner. Scott will be reading the role as whoever it is that they're interviewing in the deposition.
But you're still going to hear my bland voice. I'm not changing it, Brent.
Oh, yeah. You have to.
No, I'm not.
When it's the lady speaking, the people want to hear the lady. We're going to have to hear your lady voice.
Yeah, I don't know if I got a lady voice.
We're not going to read all the 28 that are actually available on there. Some of them have really not much of anything in them, but we are going to read the majority of them. Everybody that was on the stand, we're going to read those last. As I said, if you want to know who these belong to, if it's a redacted person, we're not going to say who it belongs to. We're just going to tell you it is the deposition of redacted, and we're going to carry on. But you can do the lead work, and you can go figure out who it is. Scott, you ready to begin?
I'm going to try my best.
The first one's going to be April the 4th of 2022, 1:29 to 1:37 p.m. This is the deposition of Casey Buckner Bragger. Okay, ma'am, please state your name and spell your last name for the record.
Casey Buckner Bragger. B-U-C-K-N-E-R, Brager, Brager.
How are you employed?
I'm a forensic specialist with the Cape Coral Police Department.
Okay. How long have you been so employed?
Almost 10 years.
What did you do before that?
I worked as a behavior detective officer for TSA, and before that, I was a bartender.
All right, thank you. Back in October 2019, how were you assigned?
I was a forensic technician with the Cape Coral Police Department.
Okay, so going back to those earlier years that you mentioned, what is the training and experience that you have that prepares you to be a forensic specialist for Cape Coral PD?
Okay, so I have my associate's degree in crime scene technology from Kaiser University. Also have my bachelor's degree from Florida. I'm sorry, FGCU, as a psychology degree. I have several hours of training. I should say hundreds of hours of crime scene training. I'm also a certified crime scene analyst through the International Association for Identification and a certified footwear examiner from the IAI.
Did you have occasion on October of 2019 to become involved in a Cape Coral homicide?
Yes, I did.
What was that?
For this case, on October 9th, I received a written request from Officer Perium to collect surveillance video at Redacted.
Can I interrupt you there? Could you spell his name or her last name, the assigning officer?
Sure. Perium. P as in Paul, E-R as in Roger, I-A-M as in Michael.
Thank you.
So I arrived at the address, and the homeowner showed me his surveillance system, and I downloaded the surveillance video for that allotted time onto a USB drive and took it back to the station and put it on a DVD and put it into evidence.
Did you review it?
I did.
What did you see?
There was a brief shadow of a female figure walking far off in the distance on the roadway.
Did you do any other activities in your regular assigned duties in this case?
Yes, I did. On October 10th at approximately 2 o'clock, I responded to the 200 block of Redacted. My supervisor, Larry Stringham, had contacted me for that and asked me to respond. I met with him when I got to the scene. He described to me that there was a deceased person in the bushes area of that empty field. I observed tire tracks in the grass that appeared to leave from northwest, fourth place east, toward the wooded area. I took measurements of the track widths, which was approximately 62 inches. I observed a body in the wooded area. I observed dirt leading to the body near the head that was disturbed. I completed measurements and a rough sketch, and I collected the shoe that was left on the scene.
Was there a set? Pardon me. Did you author a separate report detailing those activities?
I have one report.
One report? Okay. Then let's continue with anything else you did for this case.
Okay. And then on October 18th, we had, I'm not sure what day, but we seized the Nissan Versa vehicle for our garage. That must have been another technician that had seized that. I measured the track width on that, and it was approximately 59 inches, which told me that the tire tracks that we found in the field were not from the Nissan Versa. And then at the lab, I photographed the shoe that I had collected and sent that into evidence.
Anything else? Any other activities?
No, sir.
On a different day, perhaps?
No, sir. Not for this case.
Did you collect any buccal swabs or anything like that?
No. No, sir. Not for this case.
Okay.
Let me see. Let me back up. That might be a different case number. This is for 1-8850.
Oh, I think it's better if we do both cases at the same time.
Okay. I see the other case number that you're talking about. I have 8850 and 8838.
Okay, I'm getting there.
So the report that I just read to you was 8838.
Mr., did you do anything on the other case that you just named?
Yes. That report I just... So for 1-8850 on October 9th, I was requested to respond to the lobby area of the Cape Coral Police Department by Detective Hicks. I collected buccal swabs and inked 10 prints and palm prints of redacted. And then Detective Bell had requested that I respond to the interview rooms at CCPD. And I collected buccal swabs and inked 10 prints and palm prints from redacted.
With the materials you collected from those two individuals, what did you do with that, those materials?
The buccal swabs were submitted to the evidence department, and the 10 prints and palm prints were submitted to our case folder in our forensic office.
Did you do anything else in that case?
No, sir.
Now, is it true that you have told us everything you did in both of these cases?
Yes, sir.
And you pointed us to any reports you authorized in both cases?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anything about your work on these cases that I haven't asked you about that you feel is important?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you. No other questions. The next deposition is from Ryan, April the 4th, 2022, 2:34 to 2:42 p.m. Are you employed?
I am currently employed with the City of Fort Myers Police Department.
Were you so employed October of 2019?
Yes.
What is your assignment now?
I'm a sergeant in the detective division.
And what was your assignment then?
In 2019, I was a body officer in our bike unit.
The court reporter stepped in and said, a body what?
I was a bike officer in our bike unit.
Court reporter, thank you. Did you have occasion to become involved in an investigation of a homicide in October of 2019?
If you're talking about Mr. Wilson, I was not part of that homicide investigation.
Ruiz, were you involved in another homicide investigation around the time of Cape Coral?
No.
Okay, let's see. Could you have interviewed any witnesses in any of these homicide cases?
The only thing I can think of is there was a domestic violence battery case involving Mr. Wilson in the city, and I was on... I was originally dispatched to that call. That's the only thing I could think of. How I was subpoenaed for this, but in regards to his homicide investigation, no, I've had no involvement.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a fruitful area of inquiry. Tell me how you got involved in the domestic.
A call for service came out about a possible domestic situation happening downtown. And I responded as a backup officer. There were two other officers on scene that conducted the investigation. I was mainly there for just any type of assistance they needed, and then I left not long after. I was on the bike at the time.
What date was that?
I've got to look at this. October 7th of 2019.
And where were you sent to?
The call for service came out on West 1st Street.
What other officers? You mentioned a moment ago that a couple of other officers were doing an investigation. Who are they?
Officer Scavo and Officer McCormick.
And you just did backup for them on that?
Yeah. They were patrol officers, and they were dispatched to... I was just riding my bike in the area, so I just responded down there to see if they needed any assistance.
Did you ask them if they needed any assistance?
I don't recall if I did specifically. I didn't say those words, but I arrived on scene, you know. They knew that I was there for assistance if they needed it.
Were you given any task?
I don't recall off the top of my head. Like, I didn't interview anyone or take any sworn statements or collect any evidence or take any photographs. I don't recall any specific tasks.
Did you see or observe any of the parts of the investigation, like witness interviews?
Yeah. They were talking to the victim of the battery on scene. I saw her standing there, and they were talking to her.
Did you make any specific observations when you saw that?
I believe she had some type of like a bloody nose or some type of injury on her face that looked like she was in some type of altercation. I would have to review like my body camera up close to see if there was anything else.
Do you recall hearing the witness say anything?
No, I don't recall any specifics of the conversation. The other officers were conducting the investigation. I was mainly there, you know, scene security, if they needed any assistance, that type of thing, because I was just in the area on my bike.
And you had a body cam at the time?
Yes, sir.
Did you submit any recording?
Yeah. Yeah. It's on. I mean, mine's on there. All the other officers, I assume, is in the system also.
Okay. Would you have done anything, or would you have done any task that would not have been recorded on your body worn camera?
No, sir. Not that I recall.
Did you know Wade Wilson prior to this?
No, sir.
Ever see him since then?
No, sir.
Did you know the domestic complaint before this?
No, sir.
Seen her since then?
Not that I know of. I couldn't tell you what she looked like.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any other questions. The next deposition is of Lindsay M. Thompson, April the 4th, 2022. 2:48 to 2:59 p.m. Are you employed?
Yes, I am.
How are you employed?
I'm employed by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement.
How long have you been so employed?
I started here in May of 2017.
What are your duties with FDLE?
I'm assigned to the crime scene section, so our primary duties are the collection of preservation of evidence and processing crime scenes, as well as testifying in court.
Was that also your assignment back in October 2019?
Yes, it was.
Back in October of 2019, did you have an occasion to be assigned to work on one or more homicide cases?
Yes.
How many?
One.
Okay. How did you become involved in that?
I was requested by our watch desk, which is how we get our call outs. I was requested by our FDLE watch desk that we were requested by Cape Coral Police Department.
Is your office in Fort Myers?
Yes, it is.
And when requested by Cape Coral Police Department, how did you respond?
How do we respond?
Oh, that means what did you do in response to the request for Cape Coral?
Oh, okay. So once we got the request, myself and one of the other crime laboratory analysts, We left our office here in Fort Myers and arrived to the crime scene. For us, it was redacted place in Cape Coral, where the body of a female had been located.
And what were you asked to do then?
We were asked to document the scene with the FARO 3D laser scanner.
Uh-huh. Can you run through your training and experience for forensics, please?
Sure. I have a Master's of Science in Forensic Science from Florida Gulf Coast University, as well as a Bachelor's of Science, also from Florida Gulf Coast University, with a dual major in Criminal Justice and Criminal Forensic Studies. I was employed previously by the Lee County Sheriff's Office from 2008 to 2017, with 6 of those years being assigned to the Crime Scene Section. I also have over 400 hours of specialized forensic training in the state of Florida.
And you were asked right off the bat to come out and do a FARO?
Yes.
What does that mean?
We were specifically asked in this case. Cape Coral doesn't have a FARO, so they asked us to respond and assist by just FARO processing the scene for them.
Could you strike that? What does it mean, FARO processing the scene?
So FARO is our 3D laser scanner. It essentially is a machine that has a rotating mirror and a laser that bounces off of the points in the crime scene and collects data that responds back to the unit itself. So it essentially collects millions of scanned data points. That data is then put into a software that we have here in our office, and it can be used to create sketches, 3D diagrams, fly-throughs, scene-to-goes, different projects from that FARO data.
And you were asked to go do a... Strike that. Let me start over. You were asked to go do FARO on the crime scene by Cape Coral PD. And did you go do that?
Yes, I did.
What scene?
It was the one located at Redacted in Cape Coral.
What day did you go?
Ooh, we were there October 10th of 2019.
About what time?
We were requested at 14:52, so that'd be 2:52. And we arrived on scene at 16:07, so 4:07.
So you get there at 4:07. And procedurally, do you do an FARO?
So first we start off, we meet with whoever our person is on scene. In this case, we met with CCPD Forensics, and they gave us just a walkthrough of the scene. Then, we always take our pictures. We always just take some overall pictures of the scene, and then we'll start our FARO process. So, depending on how large the crime scene is, we'll determine how many FARO scans were needed.
Were those pictures submitted to Cape Coral PD evidence?
Yes, they were.
And so you determined how many FARO runs to do.
I'm sorry. Your screen froze for a minute.
Oh. I think you said a moment ago that the procedure is the first thing you do is, you know, you talk to the people on scene and then you determine how many FARO something to do. What is that?
FARO. Yeah. FARO scans. So the scanner itself is like a head unit. It's about the size of probably like a laptop. And each scan location rotates 360 degrees to capture that particular area. And then the scanner is then moved throughout the crime scene so that it can capture all of the areas of the crime scene.
And you did that for this crime scene?
Yes, sir.
How long is that procedure?
FARO is a pretty long process. It looks like, in this case, we stopped FARO scanning at 2048. So it took us about 4 hours to FARO this crime scene.
Okay. To determine, to be able to testify that it was, I think you said 2048. Are you referring to some reference material that you have there?
Yes, I have my case file.
Okay. All right. So, And it took the whole scene about 4 hours.
We were only there for that process, and then we cleared. I know Cape Coral was still there when we left, but we were only called out for a crime scene assistance.
That's something different from FARO?
No, FARO. So FARO is part of the crime scene assistance. So because we're, so FDLE is the state.
Court reporter, you froze.
Law enforcement agency and.
Okay, can I stop you? Can I stop you right there? Okay. I heard you say FDLE is the state and then nothing after that.
Okay, sorry. FDLE is the state. So for us, we can either assume the investigation and take it over crime scene-wise, or we can be an assist. In this case, we were the assistants. So Cape Coral was still the investigating agency, and their forensics were still the primary forensics for the case. We were just called in because they don't have FARO equipment. So they just wanted us to help document the scene, so they were still there after us. We just went in, we did our photographs real quick. They still did all of their photographs and all of their regular evidence processing. They would have collected all of the evidence on scene. So we were just called in as kind of an assistance role for this case.
Okay. So you did the FARO. What else did you do on scene then?
That was it.
And you said earlier that you submit the data. What do you do with the data?
Correct. So in this case, we did produce a sketch and a FARO or FARO scene to go, as well as the original data is put into evidence as well. So the FARO scene to go is a end user product. The data, if you were to put the data CD in your computer, you couldn't do anything with it unless you actually had the FARO software to go with it. So the FARO data is in evidence. And then our scene to go project, which is the FARO rendering, basically, of the crime scene, is in evidence as well as our pictures. And then we created a computerized rough sketch and a computerized sketch as well.
Do your procedures allow turning over a crime scene to go, or is it a FARO to go to the state so that you can be disclosed?
Yeah, the state should have already had that. If they don't, then it is something that they can get.
Okay. So in support of the request for assistance, what else did you do?
That's it.
All right. In terms of your involvement in this case then, did you do anything else?
No, I did not.
Okay, all right. Thank you. No other questions. Deposition of Redacted. April the 11th, 2022, 3:46 to 3:49 p.m. Redacted. Back in October 2019, did you receive some contact from law enforcement in Fort Myers or Cape Coral?
Yes.
What happened? What was that?
We got a phone call asking whether anyone should be in our house. We told them no, and he told us there was someone in there. And then, so I gave him our door combination in case he had to go in, which I understand he went in later, and that the person that was in there came out voluntarily.
Did you learn the identity of the person who was in your house?
They gave us his name, or a name. They gave us a name.
Did you know that person?
No, I never heard of him.
And is it your impression that you never gave that person permission to be in your house?
Yes.
What is the structure? Is it a detached single family residence?
Yes.
Okay. And are you aware of what the person was doing in there?
No.
Okay. All right, then I don't have any other questions. Deposition of Redacted, April 14th, 2022, 1046 to 1107 a.m. And are you employed?
Partially employed, yes. Part-time employed.
All right. What do you do? Sorry.
Currently, I am a support staff person for an interior designer.
Okay. Back in October of 2019, were you employed?
Yes.
What were you doing then?
Same thing. I was working at Benson & Associates as a support staff person.
Was it full-time, ma'am, or part?
It was part-time. Part-time, yes.
Okay. It's my understanding from the information that I have that you were a friend of one of the victims in this case?
That is not true.
Okay. Tell me then, why you, I'm sorry, not with a victim in this case, but you were a friend of a redacted?
I do not know her, no.
Okay. Tell me why you are on the state's witness list. Do you know?
I called 911. I was the one that was there in an office with a partial view of what was happening. And so I called 911 out of concern.
What office were you in?
Redacted Interior Design has two separate offices in the same office and parking lot. I started my morning in the main part, in the main administrative side, where the interior designers mostly spend their day. The other office has a lot of their design samples in it, with a design desk, and I was over in that. They call it the library, but it's basically a design studio.
Okay. That's where you were located when you saw this?
Yes.
Okay. And did you see it out a window?
There's a window and a glass door. The window blinds were closed shut. The glass door is where I witnessed the struggle.
Okay. And what do you typically look out upon when you look out of the glass door?
It's a parking lot. There's cars parked right up against the building. There's a sidewalk between the building and the parking lot. That's all it is.
Is it a covered parking lot or?
Nope, it's open.
Open parking lot, okay. So tell me what's the first thing. Well, do you remember the date?
I do not.
Okay. But October 2019, does that sound about right?
I know it was in the fall, but I don't remember the date.
Do you remember what time of day it was about?
It was early. I usually head for the administrative office into the design studio around 7:30. So on that day, I believe it was just after 7:30.
7:30 a.m.?
Yes.
You get to work early, don't you?
I do.
So what was the first thing you saw? First of all, was anyone with you?
No, I was by myself.
And what was the first thing you saw that appeared to be unusual?
When I was over there by myself, something caught my eye through the glass door, and I saw a gentleman walking close to the door. I'm not sure if he was on the sidewalk or in the parking lot, but he was closer to the building, and I didn't know who this person was, but I just noticed that he was walked by.
Close to your door?
Yes.
Okay. How about how far would you say, could you give us an estimate?
I was not standing by the door. I was working. I'm really bad with distance, so.
Okay. Would it be like looking across the room or further than that?
It was further than that.
Okay, so you were not right up against the door.
I was not.
And do you have an idea of how far from the door you were?
I was on the other side of the design counter. I believe I was on the other side of the design counter. There's nothing by the door that I would have been doing, so I would say 10 to 12 feet.
Okay, and you had a clear view your review is not obstructed in any way?
It depends. At this point, when this person walked by, at that point in time, there was nothing to obstruct, no, that I could remember that was in front of me.
Okay, and you know you said you're not great on distance. Most people aren't, but how far would you say he was from the door?
I don't believe he was on the sidewalk, but he was closer to the sidewalk than the center of the parking lot, maybe 5 or 6 feet.
Okay, all right. And can you describe him for us? What was he wearing? How he was dressed, or, you know, height, weight, anything like that? Generally, can you give me any kind of description?
The only thing I specifically remember, he did not have a shirt on. It was only a few moments passing by this glass door, and I was not staring at the glass door. But I remember he had no shirt on. He had tattoos and, you know.
Okay. Do you remember anything about the tattoos?
I do not.
Okay. Do you remember where they were?
I didn't. I believe they were up towards his neck, but I can't be specific. It was just a short period of time, so I cannot.
I understand.
Exactly.
How long a time for the first time you saw him until maybe you no longer saw him anymore? How long of a time was that?
This was the first time I saw him. It was maybe a few seconds while he passed by the door, but because I wasn't staring at the door, it just caught my eye.
What was he doing? What was he doing?
He just walked past the door.
Okay, so nothing unusual about that except maybe his appearance?
And it was early. No.
Okay. Was there a period of time before you saw him again?
Yes.
About how long was that, or would that have been?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how long it was.
Okay. Just for, you know, I'm not going to ask you to guess, but was it a long time, or just a few minutes, or without giving any specific number?
I have notes from when I gave the police after I was questioned, and I could tell you what the notes say, but I can't.
Okay, that's fine. I don't want you to read from the notes, but tell me if it helps you to remember.
And it doesn't say so.
Okay, so there's a period of time where you didn't see him.
Correct.
And then you saw him again. Were you basically in the same location?
Yes, I was.
Okay. What did you see at that time?
At that point, there was a car then parked up in front of the door, blocking much of the view outside the door for me to look outside the door. And I saw I could see the upper body of the same man was below, because a car that was parked blocked my view, and I was not standing right at the door again. I was back in the office, and I saw blonde hair, just the top of a head with blonde hair, and it looked like there was a struggle between this man and the person who had blonde hair.
Was he on the other side of the car? Is that why?
Yes.
It was blocked?
It was more towards the center of the parking lot.
Okay. What did you... Did you stay where you were, or did you...
I did.
Okay. And what did you see? You said some kind of struggle?
There was, again. All I could see was blonde hair, and it looked like this man was pulling, or I don't know how to... That there was some kind of struggle between these two people.
Okay.
And that's all. And I don't know what happened first, to be honest with you. But there was a car that was obviously not in park, that was behind the car that was parked in front of me, that gradually came forward and bumped the parked car. So I'm not sure which thing I saw first, but there was some kind of struggle.
Was somebody driving that car?
I don't know.
So you all of a sudden saw a car come into view and then bump into that car that was semi-blocking your view?
Yes. It was a gradual, almost like a parked, like it wasn't in park. I don't know. All I saw was movement of a car. Again, I had a block view. I couldn't see.
So that comes from one direction or another.
It came from behind the parked car.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if it was the car bumping that I saw first or at the same time as the struggle. I can't remember that.
Okay. Tell me everything you remember about the struggle.
That's it. I mean, there was just a struggle between this man and somebody else with blonde hair, and I immediately called 911.
Was it a male or a female?
The person with the blonde hair?
Yes.
I don't know. All I could see was blonde hair on the top of a head. I could not see no person.
How long did the struggle last?
I don't know. I called 911 immediately and answered whatever questions they asked me and tried and said I needed to get off the phone with 911. I gave them, you know, the vicinity of where we were because I was concerned about the people in the other office and wanted to call them to lock the door to the office just in case. I didn't know what was happening.
Was your door locked?
Yes.
Did you continue to look out to see what was going on while you were talking to the police?
Yes, because they were asking me questions. I was trying to answer questions.
Okay. And where did these people eventually leave?
I didn't. When I got off the phone with 911, I called the other office. And from then, I was trying to concentrate on that. And I was not staring outside the window, outside the door. No.
Okay. After you saw the struggle, called the police, did you see them anymore, or was that the end of the time you saw the people?
That was the end of the time I saw them until after the police got there.
Okay. And the car that bumped into the parked car, what happened to it?
I don't know.
Was it still there, or do you recall?
I don't remember.
Okay. So the police got there.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
And where were you and what was going on that you could see?
I stayed inside this office until the police got there. I don't know exactly what moment they got there, but I did not leave the office to go to the other office until I knew the police were there and handled it. No one came and got me, so.
Nobody came and got you?
No.
Did you walk out when the police got there?
Yes.
All right.
At some point, yes.
Okay. And when you walked outside, what did you see?
A woman. I don't really remember exactly. I just know there was a woman that was bleeding from the face somewhere, and the woman with the blonde hair. And then there was another woman next to her, and then it possibly, I can't remember everything, someone from our other office was around them at that time.
How about the male that you had seen walk by?
I did not see him.
He was gone?
Yes. To the best of my knowledge, I did not see him.
Okay.
So I don't know where he was.
Now, you say that it was a woman. You can't say that the woman you saw out there when you got there was part of the struggle?
The hair looked the same, but I never saw. All I saw was hair during the struggle.
Okay. And there was another woman besides her, you said?
Yes.
Did she appear to be somebody that was with the other person, or was it the same type of official, or?
Later on, it seemed like they came together, both women came together. But I don't know this. I don't know. I could have been a friend. I don't know.
And you didn't see any more of the car that bumped the...
On it, I was not looking for the car, so I don't know who was there or not there. I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay. But as I understood it, when you saw this parked car there, then you saw this other car come up from behind, I guess, and bump it?
Yes.
That car was no longer there at that point?
I don't know if it was there or not there.
Okay.
I wasn't looking for the car. I was just really just waiting for the police to get there.
Okay.
That wasn't my consequent. My thought was of the people, you know, and not, I wasn't paying attention to the other things.
No, I'm just...
I don't know.
All right. So, did the police eventually talk to you?
No. Well, they're at the scene, no.
When did they talk to you?
I received a phone call later that they wanted to talk to me.
Okay. The same day or?
No.
Sometime later?
Sometimes later.
Okay. And that's basically what they talked to you about is what you talked to me about today?
Yes.
Do you know anything more about the case than what you've told me today? Anything? Any detail? Significant thing that I haven't asked you about?
I know what I was told later, but I don't know of my
own
discovery.
You can tell me what you were told. It probably wouldn't be admissible in court, but you can tell me what you were told.
I was told, I was pretty shaken up, so I went into the office. I was told that there was a, I was told that the person that was the victim who was injured in this incident either owned or works at the spa that is above where I was on the second floor. That's what I was told. I was told it was the boyfriend, ex-boyfriend. Some kind of somebody she knew. I did not know that that was that person. The woman, I did not know that was her that had been injured because she didn't look like she normally does on a work day. But I don't know her. I've never spoken to her except maybe saying hello to her.
You were aware of her?
I did not know who she was when I saw her that day.
But you knew about the spa, I guess.
Yes.
And you knew she was connected with it. After, later?
Yes. I mean, yeah. I was told that that was her. And I said I did not recognize her.
Okay.
But I don't know her.
Anything else? That you personally heard or saw? I don't think I asked you that. Could you hear anything while that little struggle was going on?
And that's the difficult part. I don't remember if I heard something or saw something first. I don't remember the specifics.
Okay. No words, though, that you can say.
I would say no to words. No, I don't remember a conversation or yelling words. I don't remember any words.
Ma'am, I don't have any more questions. Deposition of redacted. April 14th, 2022, 11:28 to 11:45 a.m. Would you state your name, ma'am?
Redacted.
Redacted. How do you spell your last name?
R-E-D. Redacted.
And where do you live?
Believe it or not. Redacted.
Okay, is that an apartment or a house?
It's a house, a residence.
Okay, are you employed?
No, retired.
Are you employed back in October 2019?
No.
About that day, I don't know if you remember that exact day, but do you remember, you know, the incident we're talking about, correct?
Correct.
Tell me, or tell us, what might have happened that day that was somewhat unusual?
I took my grandson to school, and when I came back home, I went into the house and put my outside shoes on and went out through the lanai. I had opened and closed the garage door, and I had went out through the lanai, through the screen to the front lawn to pick up palm fronds and use the water hose. And as I was walking from the lanai between the homes, a car drove down the road with the windows down. It was a black car, lots of chrome, and he was waving at me like a fool. And I thought, huh, what was that for? He was young enough to be my grandson, and I don't know him. This is what I'm thinking. But I proceeded to pick up the palm fronds, and he went two doors down hurriedly while he was waving at me. I thought he was going to run into the neighbor across the street's palm tree. Then he hurriedly...
The court reporter. The neighbor across the street, what? The witness. I thought he was going to run into his palm trees. The court reporter. Thank you.
His driving was a little erratic, and he went two doors down and turned around in my other neighbor's on my side of the street's driveway very hurriedly. And I had my eye on him because I was picking up palm fronds, thinking I don't recognize this person. So he pulled, turned around, and I came down towards where I had come down between the houses, and he parked in the neighbor right next door to me on my side of the street. And he's a pastor. Pastor Redacted's house. And he pulled real close to the mailboxes, and I kept an eye out while I moved the hose, and he didn't get out of the car. I kind of watched.
Let me stop you right there and
pardon?
Ask you a few questions. Do you remember, well, let me ask you, is your yard where you were you in your front yard, right?
Yes, correct.
And is it fenced or is it open?
It's open.
Okay. And this car was driving down the street and a fellow was in it and he was kind of waving to you weirdly or frantically?
Very, very animatedly, really waving to me. And I was like, who's that guy?
What kind of car was it?
It was a black car with a lot of chrome. Nice looking car. Couldn't tell you the make though. But it was a newer car.
Okay. Was it a hard top or a convertible?
A hard top.
Did he have the windows up or down?
Down. The windows were down.
Okay. And I'll ask you if you can describe him later, but he goes down a couple of
two
houses and turns around?
Yes.
And did you say something about notifying your neighbor or something?
No. No, I didn't. He turned around and parked at the neighbor's.
At the neighbor's, okay.
By the mailbox, on the street, not in the driveway.
Okay, when was...
Facing Pastor Redacted's house.
What did you do from there?
I moved my water hose and I went back to my lanai and went in the screen and latched the screen and I proceeded to water my plants on the lanai. And there's an L... little set off offset like, and there was a plant there and I was watering and the screen is right there. And just as I looked up, he was coming up the side of the house moving pretty fast. And he reached for the lanai door and tried to open it and said, Redacted. And I looked up at him and I had said, no, not here. And
let me ask you what? I'm not sure what a lanai is. Were you in an enclosed area?
Yes, the screened-in cage over the pool area.
Okay, and you were able to lock a door?
Yes, we lock the screens always.
Okay, just a screen door, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a screen.
And so he comes up to the screen door.
Correct. And he reaches for the latch when he says, Redacted. And I said, no, not here. But the whole time he was there, he was pushing on that lock. And I kept watering my plants. And he said again, Redacted. And I said, no, not in my neighborhood. I know pretty much everybody. I don't know any Redacted.
Okay.
And then he said, no, Redacted. And I said, no. I said, Redacted's home. The guy, right?
But was it Redacted?
He said Redacted.
Because I think in your previous statement, you said Redacted. Did you get confused about that? Or do you just...
No, I've always said Redacted. Somebody maybe wrote it down it wrong.
Okay, you think you're sure it was Redacted?
I'm sure he said Redacted.
Okay, go ahead.
And then I said, well, Redacted home next door. And Redacted home, his car is home. And Redacted car is there. So you may want to go ask one of them. They are home, so you might ask them. Don't know anybody by that name. And then I turned. I finished watering the plant, turned to go back towards the house, and he had no shirt on. He just had on khaki shorts. And he said, rubs his shorts with his palms of his hands, and he said, oh, I need to use your phone. And I said, no phone, don't have a phone. And he said, no phone. And I said, no phone, I don't have a phone. And I kept walking.
By this time, were you able to get a better look at him? I guess after he got...
I got a good look at him, yes.
Okay, can you describe him for us?
He was fairly tall, and he had a lot of tattoos on his chest. That's what I noticed the most. And he was shirtless and the khaki shorts. He could be very nice looking, except for the tats.
I understand.
And kind of charismatic, I would say.
All right, then.
I'm walking towards the house. I told him no phone, and I'm walking towards the house, and I didn't. I was a little bit leery, but I didn't act like it. And he threw his hands up on the screen and yelled, high five, high five. And I turned and looked at him, and I said, high five. I thought, all right, but I kept going to the house.
This was after all of the Redacted.
Yeah, all that when I was going back towards the house inside the lanai all the time. And I went in and called my daughter again. He turned. I looked back when I set my bucket down, and he turned and took off. And then I went in and looked to see if his car moved. It was gone. And I called my daughter and said, you won't believe the strangest thing just happened. And she said, Mom, get off the phone and call 911. And I said, well, he's gone. And she said, you call 911. And I said, well, give me the police number and I'll just call them because he's not here. His car is gone. So I did that.
You said something. I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but he said something about an Uber, though, eventually, didn't he?
I said that he never mentioned Uber. But I said to my daughter, I knew it couldn't be an Uber driver because he never said Uber. He just kept saying the name Redacted. And he was shirtless, so how could he be an Uber driver is what I'm thinking.
Right.
And then I called the officer, and he came by the house a little while later, and I just told him what happened. But then later that day, I heard on the news about two people that had been... They were looking for someone that had harmed two women, and I said to my daughter, oh gosh, I hope it wasn't that guy that was at the house. Well, then the next day or so, I can't remember exactly, we flew to Cleveland, and then when our plane landed, the neighbor lady texted my daughter and said, oh my gosh, Mom, Redacted. Text, they arrested this guy. And she had a picture of him. For killing two women. And she said, is this the guy you saw? And I said, yes, that's him. So of course it went from there. Then I talked to a detective from somewhere and told him I was in Cleveland. And then he came to the home and I came back, which I was only up there for 4 days.
Okay. What time of the day was that?
That he was at the house?
Yes, ma'am.
I dropped my grandson at school at 9:30.
I think it was 9:30. He was in elementary, so maybe 8:30. I dropped him at school because this year we go at 9:30. So I'd say it was 8:30.
So it was about 9:30. Is that what you?
It was about 9:30, I guess.
Okay.
It was morning.
And you didn't have any reason to think that he had was a suspect?
No.
In killing people?
I just knew that it was strange. He was a stranger in the neighborhood, and he did. And why did he come and continually try to open that Lene door? I mean, it was a little.
That would have been easy enough for somebody like him to break into.
Oh, correct. He could have come through that screen if he really wanted to. I wasn't afraid of him. I just was leery of him.
Does your street go through? In other words, was there a...
My street. My street would go through and around and follow on to Hancock off of Del Prado.
Okay.
But when he had come down my street, I would say he came from Del Prado, and he could have came off Hancock and down our side, a side street to our street. But when he left, he was facing Del Prado. So the officer asked me what direction he went. And I said, I didn't know exactly. His car was facing towards Del Prado, but there is a side street that he could have taken back to Hancock.
You don't have any idea what he was looking for or why he was trying to? I mean, I know he asked for the phone, but other than that?
No, he was just, I don't know the word to explain him as a person, just kind of out there.
Just kind of what?
Out there. Like he... I knew there was nobody by that name. I knew that he couldn't possibly be looking for somebody like that on our street because nobody lives on our street by that name.
Would you say that his behavior was somewhat bizarre?
I thought his behavior was not normal. He didn't act crazy or anything. He didn't try to scare me in any way.
Okay.
But I knew he was just a stranger.
Strange? Weird?
Strange. Well, to be waving at me as frantically as he was, I thought, I hope that guy doesn't ask for directions because they had it all over the news recently not to go near a car that asked for directions. So I thought, I hope that guy is not stopping to ask for directions because I went back into the Lene and then he showed up, but he walked very close to the house. You know, I was surprised when he came to the Lene when I was standing there. That he didn't alert me that he was coming up the side of the house because I was looking down. But when I looked up and saw him, he walked very close to the house.
Let me ask you, I'm trying to picture that in my mind and I can't quite. The door that he came to, the Lene door?
Correct.
Is that the front of your house or?
Back, in the back.
It's in the back. So he had to walk around the back?
Yes, he had to have come across our driveway and through the front yard and make a left and come down to the Lene.
Did he?
He saw me. He saw me walk back that way.
He saw you walk back that way?
Yes, in the direction he saw me go.
Okay.
And he walked close to the house and he did not alert me that he was coming. If you were going to walk up on somebody, I thought you would alert them if you were coming. And I noticed that right away. I look up and there he was reaching for the door. And I thought, here's this guy who doesn't announce himself saying, hey, I'm looking for so-and-so. No, he didn't do that. He only reached for the door and couldn't get in.
Well, I think you handled it very well.
Thank you.
Any other contact with him? Any other knowledge of this case other than what you might have heard or?
No.
Okay. I don't believe I have any more questions. So that's where we're going to stop with the depositions for tonight. We will be back very soon with more of these. Besides that, Scott, do you have anything that you'd like to say?
Only thing I have to say is we appreciate everybody coming by, liking, subscribing, and commenting to us. Keep in mind that me and Brent do try our best to keep a neutral standpoint, I guess you would say, on cases. We're going to give you both sides, whether that be positive, negative, in between, however you want to look at it. Just keep that in mind.
And we will be back very soon to keep going through these and giving y'all the information y'all wanted.
Well, with that being said, somebody's going to have a deposition tonight.
But it probably won't be filed.
Have a good night.